It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
crucial things that are happening in our healthcare system that have gotten us to sort of a tipping point where we really have no choice but to reform the system and where we really are galvanizing the public that the system needs to be reformed. Virginia workers are paying for family coverage have increased rapidly, and Virginia for family coverage now pays the third highest premium percentage of the premiums in the country, and for individual coverage, we're number one.
John McInerney from the Commonwealth Institute was one of many speakers at a June 4 town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond, that discussed the value of comprehensive and meaningful healthcare reform. And the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll find out about $4 billion in tax credits coming to Virginia as a result of the stimulus bill. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 52, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Virginia will receive over $9 billion in federal aid through the recently enacted Federal Recovery Act, with nearly half of the money coming in the form of tax cuts for low- and middle-income Virginians, according to a new report from the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis. The total includes $4.8 billion in new federal funding for health care, education, and infrastructure, and also contains more than $4 billion in tax credits and other direct assistance for children, families, the elderly, and the disabled. The tax credits include the Making Work Pay credit of up to $400 per worker, the Federal Child Tax Credit, which expands eligibility for a credit of up to $1,000, and the Federal Earned Income Tax Credit, which expands eligibility for working families with three or more children and provides assistance to some married couples filing a joint return. The full analysis of the Recovery Act's impact on Virginia is available online at www.thecommonwealthinstitute.org. In other news, online payday lending is a growing part of the payday loan industry, with $7 billion in estimated loan volume for 2008, compared with $35 billion for storefronts. Although it's not hard to find an online payday loan, it's not as easy to find the online payday lenders themselves. Dale Pittman, a consumer protection lawyer in Petersburg, has some experience tracking online lenders. According to Pittman, it's hard as hell to find these people. You can't communicate with them and tell them what they're doing is illegal. 35 states have interest caps that effectively ban payday lending, but Virginia isn't one of them. Still, a lender making payday loans in Virginia, whether online or from a storefront, needs a license from the state government. Pittman tracked down several payday lenders on behalf of a client who took out multiple payday loans over the course of a year. None of the lenders had a license, so all the loans were illegal. More information about online payday lending is available at www.virginiafairloans.org. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is subpoena for witness. A subpoena for witness is a court order that says a witness must come to court and testify in a court case or before an administrative agency. For each witness you want to subpoena, you need the full name and current physical address, not just a post office box. You must give this information to the clerk of the court at least 10 days before your trial date. If you don't subpoena your witness, you can't get your case postponed if your witness fails to come to court. Only the subpoena guarantees that you'll have your witness at trial. If you receive a witness subpoena, you must appear at the time and place specified. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and subpoena for witness is this week's legal term of the week.
America's broken healthcare system has made it impossible to strengthen our economy while families and businesses struggle to make ends meet. On June 4, the Virginia chapter of Change That Works sponsored a town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there and brings you part one of a two-part presentation.
First, we'll hear tonight from Reverend Rodney Hunter, who is a senior pastor at Wesley Memorial United Methodist Church.
Let me say it's a pleasure to be here to talk about something that's needful for everyone, and that's universal health care. This nation, it seems, plays politics on those who many times have fallen into hard times. Some have been unemployed, and it seems that we as a nation have lost our sensitivity and care for such situations. As a minister, I'm bombarded with phone calls where persons need assistance. Many of these cases are individuals who were working but had emergency health issues, and because of those health issues, they had to pay for their medical expenses or medication and couldn't pay their utilities or even their rent. And oftentimes, we as a church try to assist, and many times persons individually even try to help. We must do all we can to make sure that the politicians speak the truth to us and then try to act on doing that which is needful for all of us. When we talk about healthcare issues, we need to make sure that the bottom line is understood. And as a community, we must make sure we advocate for all persons, and we also must make sure that we talk to our politicians to make sure that they too will fight the lobbyists who have money to make sure that we do not let any persons go without something that they need, and that's health care. And I'm here to say, yes, I am my brother and my sister's keeper. Yes, I do have an obligation for other persons in our community. And it's time that we stop letting the rich get richer at the expense of keeping those who are trying to just make a decent living in poverty. So I'm here on behalf of many who are in the faith-based community to say we need to take a stand, learn about the issues, and then come together to fight for them that all might have universal health care.
Next, we will hear from Erica Johnson on the Faithful Vision for Reform. Erica Johnson works with the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy.
My name is Erica, and I'm here from the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy. We are working at the Interfaith Center to strengthen Virginia's families by expanding health care for children and working parents. The Faithful Vision is basically just a set of shared beliefs that we feel are important for our healthcare system to reflect. It states that healthcare is a shared responsibility that is grounded in our common humanity. Healthcare must be affordable for all. All persons should have access to health services that provide necessary care and contribute to wellness. Healthcare is fundamental to a healthy, flourishing society.
Next, we had the pleasure to hear from John McInerney, also from the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, about the status of healthcare reform in Virginia.
My name is John McInerney, and I'm the Health Policy Director with the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis, and we work with the Interfaith Center for Public Policy. I am going to talk for just a few minutes on healthcare reform and give you sort of a status update on what's happening up in Washington, what's happening and needs to happen here in Virginia, and just the general need for healthcare reform before going into the status of where things are at. It seems that healthcare reform, we kind of enter a period where we discuss and debate healthcare reform about every 10 or 15 years. It's over the last 40 or 50 years. And every time we get to a certain point, it seems like things have broken down and we haven't achieved the goal of universal health care or providing access to care for all Americans. So why is this any different this time around? I think there's some crucial things that are happening in our healthcare system that have gotten us to sort of a tipping point where we really have no choice but to reform the system, and where we really are galvanizing the public that the system needs to be reformed. In previous efforts at health reform, one of the key reasons of our failure is that most people have had health coverage through their employer. Upwards of 70-75% of Americans had health coverage at work, and the premiums, while maybe increasing, were still manageable for the majority of Americans. And what we're seeing now is that that system is breaking down. Fewer people are getting health care through work. The average total cost of a family premium is over $12,000 a year, which is really putting a burden on both the workers and also businesses, because businesses pay a percentage of the premium in most cases. So it's gotten to a point where many businesses are saying we can't offer health coverage anymore, especially in the small business community. And for those that are offering coverage, they're charging their workers a higher percentage of the premiums, and they're shifting the cost towards the employees. In Virginia, we've seen the percentage of people with employer-sponsored health coverage at work fall from about 67% in 2006 to 62% in the 2007 data. So there's a huge erosion happening here in Virginia. And at the same time, the percentage of the premium costs that Virginia workers are paying for family coverage have increased rapidly. And Virginia for family coverage now pays the third highest premium percentage of the premiums in the country. And for individual coverage, we're number one. So it's getting very expensive in Virginia. And as you can see by the worker insurance numbers, fewer people are able to get health care at work. So I think that we are getting to a point where many Virginians and many Americans are ready for reform. If you can't get coverage through your employer, you're probably on the individual market, which I think is just not working for just about anybody. If you call up Anthem and try to get an insurance plan, they may offer you one, but if you have any type of pre-existing condition, whether it be diabetes or something as simple as hay fever, you're probably not going to get covered for that condition, which is why one of the reasons you'd want insurance in the first place. And the premium that you're going to pay is prohibitively expensive in just about all cases, unless you're about a 25-year-old non-smoking individual who will probably never use the coverage in the first place. So that market is not working. And then the safety net, Medicaid, children's health insurance through FAMIS, that is increasingly hard to get into. Or, well, it's just hard to get into in many cases. In Medicaid, parents who earn even more than $6,000 a year cannot qualify in Virginia for Medicaid coverage. And for children's health coverage, while we cover kids up to 200%, there are still over 185,000 kids without health insurance, and 100,000 of them are eligible for either FAMIS coverage or Medicaid coverage, but aren't enrolled in the plan. So there's still, we're not doing a good enough job of even providing safety net coverage. So that shows that all these coverage systems are not really working effectively either in Virginia or across the country. And so the time for reform seems like it's upon us.
You're listening to a June 4 town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond, about the value of comprehensive and meaningful healthcare reform. We'll be back in a moment. If you're just joining us, the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show now rejoins the June 4 Town Hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center in South Richmond about comprehensive and meaningful healthcare reform.
So we have one other person who's going to really start us off with kind of the goal of this evening, which is to share our stories about how the healthcare system that we have now has affected us. And that's why we have Lauren Ray down here. She's a small business owner who's had difficulty running her business because of the high cost of health insurance. So, Lauren?
Good evening. My name is Lauren, and I want to thank you for allowing me to speak and share my story tonight. I speak to you tonight as an active constituent, but also a student, a mother, and most importantly, a small business owner. Not a day goes by where we're not overwhelmed with the struggles of healthcare created by the crumbling healthcare system. However, before I speculate or articulate, you know, the problems of the current system, let me share my story, a little background. And sadly, a story shared by a lot of struggling citizens. My battle with healthcare began when I was pregnant with my daughter, and I lost my insurance at that time. During my pregnancy, my fiance and I were working for his family's company, which was a small business, and they didn't have the capacity to provide health insurance either. So with both of us uninsured and about to become parents, the fear of not being able to provide was absolutely terrifying. To add insult to injury, while I was pregnant, he was hospitalized in the ICU for about 4 days, and we were almost $20,000 in debt before our daughter was born. After giving birth to my daughter, I began having postpartum complications. And it was at my doctor's appointment that I was told that I no longer had insurance, again. And I was given the number to a free clinic and told to have a nice day. So once again, we were one of more than 45 million uninsured Americans. And now we were about to become a new member of the almost 26 million of those uninsured that are small business owners or their dependents. So here I am, a new mom, no insurance, a serious medical problem, and, you know, a complicated dilemma. Do I seek treatment and run the risk of putting my family in further jeopardy, or do I put personal safety before, you know, finances? Ultimately, I toughed it out as long as I could until we were able to buy private insurance, which, by the way, they denied. That's just a side thought. But while healthcare no doubt has an impact on every aspect of our lives personally, it has absolutely become evident since becoming business owners. About 5 months ago, we bought that company that we once worked for, and we now work from home. And while running a business can be a headache in itself, healthcare and its place in our lives continues to become the greatest source of frustration. It affects almost every aspect of running a successful business. And some may wonder how our current system affects small business owners like me, and more importantly, how it affects our country's overall economic security. And what I don't understand is the United States is a nation that has always supported and been supported by the spirit of entrepreneurship and small business. And the inability of businesses like ourselves to have access to quality, affordable health care, it actually costs the state of Virginia $5.6 billion a year due to the poor health and shorter lifespan of the uninsured, which adds up to almost $5,000 per uninsured. And as small business owners, we're forced to pay more coverage than larger competing businesses and can't keep up with the rising costs of coverage. So there's no doubt that healthcare affects many business owners and cripples industry members. And, you know, much attention lately has been given to the Wall Street fat cats and the corporate CEOs that are lining their pockets with taxpayer money. But nobody ever stops to think that there are corporations lining their pockets from the profits of the health and safety of citizens. And I believe that the lives and health should not be an industry that makes profit from our hardships. And from that aspect, you know, I'm a social work major, so I tend to think in terms of how things affect people, like how, you know, parents can't sleep at night, or the way mothers like myself turn away and so their kids can't see them cry. And I think about people like me who are embarrassed to have to show the Medicaid card, and distraught that as hard as we work, we feel hopeless in protecting our children. And I also think of the message that we send as human beings when we put a price tag on the lives of our citizens. I see healthcare as a right and not as a privilege, and as a moral imperative instead of a cost benefit. But if I can't appeal to you through equality and humanity, let me at least appeal to you through rationale and reason. A comprehensive healthcare reform package that provides small business owners more choices, including a public health insurance option, could save small businesses as much as 18% in administrative cost alone. It can help businesses like mine and countless others succeed. And in a society that takes great pride in values like creativity and opportunity, it's becoming increasingly difficult for industry to survive with the current healthcare system. In a society that values competition, it's becoming impossible to compete. And in a society that encourages small business, it is impossible for those businesses, like mine, to survive. I think it's time to get tough with our elected officials and let them know that, like the rest of us, their jobs too are in jeopardy. And let them know that we have taken hostage our votes and will release them only when and only when, strides to healthcare reform are established. Make no mistake, the healthcare crisis must be addressed, and it must be addressed now. Not only for my family, but for your family and for the American dream.
You've been listening to a June 4 town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond, about the value of comprehensive and meaningful healthcare reform. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about employment at will. The first tip is that employment at will means an employer may hire, refuse to hire, promote, demote, fire, or lay off employees for any reason at all. Good reason, bad reason, or no reason, as long as it's not a prohibited reason. The second tip is that unfair treatment in the workplace and poor personnel practices usually don't violate the law. The third tip is that an employer can't discriminate due to race, religion, national origin, age, gender, or disability. Your employer also can't retaliate due to a job-related safety or health complaint or workers' compensation claim. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week's, that's our top three tips about employment at will.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-8255 866-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Healthcare reform is not just about improving the health and safety of Americans. It's also a bottom-line, balance sheet issue that will save us money while we increase quality. Join us next Wednesday with part two of a June 4 town hall meeting on healthcare at the Sacred Heart Center, a nonprofit community center serving the residents of South Richmond. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegenreich.